No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How we doing today? It's Thursday. It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We're having a lot of fun here in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios, presented by Derrick Daniels State Farm, right here off McFarland Boulevard in Northport. Call them today at 205-758-3391. We're also proudly presented by Strength Roofing and Siding. You can call them today at 205-858-9050. Zach Guffey and his crew will get you taken care of for the winter season. I believe Mason Woods on their Facebook, I saw they'll give you $1,000 off their a roof replacement. That's going to help you this winter. So make sure you call them today at 205-858-9050, Strength Roofing and Siding. Zach Guffey and the crew will come out, check out your roof, make sure you are good to go. We're here in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios. As I said, I just addressed Mason Woods. You can follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. We're going to have a fun today talking about South Carolina, getting into the game a little bit more, talking about Lenora Sellers, talking about their offensive line, this, that, and the other, Mike Shula. We're going to be joined in just a little bit by Alex Joyce. Alex Joyce of South Carolina on SI, South Carolina Gamecocks on SI is going to join us. You can follow him at Alex Joyce on SI. He's going to tell us what's been going on with the team so far this year. So we're looking forward to that in about 20 minutes or so. So with that, Mason Woods, good morning. How we doing?
Doing good this morning. Doing good. As you were going through the intro there, I'm looking here at a bit of very juicy Vanderbilt recruiting news potentially. So that'll give me something to do today, and that'll be a good time.
There we go. Vandy, anchor down.
Looking to flip a pretty prominent prospect in the 2026 recruiting class.
Quarterback?
Jared Curtis.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
He is going to be in Nashville this weekend for Vanderbilt's game against Missouri. It'll be the second time he's been there in the last 2 weeks. Maybe a third time. I saw some people saying he was there for the last Saturday's game. I haven't been able to confirm that one way or the other. I do know he was there for practice this week. He was at practice yesterday, supposedly, just because he's friends with Diego and knows of Vanderbilt, likes the program, thinks it's good for the city.
Don't say that.
But it's just interesting.
He's a superhuman.
It's very, very intriguing.
If he flips from Georgia to Vanderbilt, what does that mean? He's a superhuman. You've seen his highlights, right?
Yeah. I have also seen that supposedly, and this is message board talk, so take it with a grain of salt, but supposedly he drives a baby blue Lamborghini Urus to school with Go Dogs on the tag.
Well, great.
We'll see. His agent yesterday said that, you know, let's make one thing clear. He's still a Bulldog, but that's an agent.
Right. And if it's about money, Vanderbilt can match whatever it is.
They probably can.
What I read when he committed to Georgia was he was already promised 900K as a freshman. It was increasing increments once he took that starting job and, you know, incentive. Mm-hmm. So, but that's nothing for Vanderbilt.
I mean, they're paying Diego more than that right now.
And he would walk right in and be the starter.
Yeah.
With Diego leaving.
Probably, yeah. They do have some good guys in the 26 class right now, but yeah, as good as they are, you're not going to tell Jared Curtis. You're going to keep him off the field.
Heck no. I mean,
that'd be crazy.
I'm excited about Alabama's cool quarterbacks, but Jared Curtis is a superhuman.
Yeah, he is very, very good. I was a little reluctant to jump on the hype train for him, but yeah, you watch him and you can tell that it's there. Every tool that you could possibly want with a quarterback plus more is there with Jared Curtis. So look, I haven't talked to him. I haven't talked to anybody or in his camp or anything like that. So my confidence level with this actually happening is like a 5% maybe. But man, that would be one of the craziest recruiting flips I've possibly ever seen.
Well, yeah, 100%, 100%. And Clark Lee, you know, they're building right there.
That would be, everything up to this obviously has been very monumentous for the program. But like that would be this is where it started.
Yeah, for sure. And so we'll keep an eye out on Mason Woods' Twitter machine, MAWoods_, to get the full article on that in just a little bit today. We've got a nice little article on BamaCentral.com, Bama Central's big, big cover page. Henry Sklar actually got some work done. Well done, Henry. and he wrote a pretty nice feature piece on Trent Seaborn. From Aloha to Alabama, Trent Seaborn is chasing a Crimson Tide legacy. And he basically focuses on Trent Seaborn's, you know, journey from Hawaii to Alabama and his relationship with the Tungavailoas and Tua and kind of everything about that. It's a pretty lengthy piece, so we'll give Henry some of your time today and check out his piece on the cover of AlabamaCentral.com, From Aloha to Alabama. It's a big old feature on Alabama's newest quarterback commit, Trent Seaborn. So,
just a little sneak peek for anybody that, you know, wants to read it. I did read through it this morning. One thing, the one thing that was so interesting to me in there, to his father told him, like he asked him about when he began to see it with his own children, like, okay, they have it, they can play it. He was like, I never really noticed it. He saw it with Seaborn very, very young. So that just leads me to believe that I think Seaborn's going to be quite the quarterback.
Yeah, and he's going to walk right in and compete with the quarterback room. We don't know what it's going to be because of transfer portal issues. Ideally, no one goes in the portal at all, but that's just not the way this game works anymore. So
I think realistically, we can probably count on losing one.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to next spring. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but looking forward to next spring to seeing
another Austin, 6 months of quarterback talk.
Austin Mack, Keelan Russell. That's right. We'll see which camps. And look, Jet Tamala, Tayden Kawa, hey, are going to try to get themselves into that battle.
Yeah. I mean, you know, both of those guys have had incredible senior seasons so far. You know, both of them are playing in fairly favorable situations where they are in their for their high school teams, specifically Jet Tamala, just being at Millard South there in Omaha. If you're not up to date with Nebraska high school football, they are not well liked amongst the community because they just kind of dominate everyone else in the state. I mean, I think they've put up over 70 points in 4 or 5 straight games. Like they are a completely head and shoulders above every other team in the state of Nebraska. But Tayden Kawa as well, playing in Utah, you know, maybe not exactly the same as playing in Georgia or playing in Texas or California or something like that, but he's still like completely carving up defenses.
Yeah, so looking forward to that next spring already. And if Ty Simpson just decides to come back, but that's not happening anymore.
Come on back. You're playing well enough.
all our worst fears in the summer about Ty Simpson being just mediocre enough to not go to the NFL, but to want to come back, I think are completely dead.
Yeah, I mean, what he'd have to play, so bad for the rest of the season at this point for the NFL to not still want him.
Yeah,
he's already put so much good tape out there.
There'd have to be something catastrophic, and I don't even want to. Yeah, exactly. I don't even want to put that.
It would
out.
Have to be like there's very, very few things he can do to make the NFL not want him at this point.
Exactly. Good morning, Miss Betty. Roll Tide to you. Thank you so much for tuning in to us on the Facebook machine and commenting. We appreciate you very much. And I guess the Roll Tide Forever comment, as you do most mornings, we appreciate that a whole lot. Well, South Carolina, 2:30. Man, I put on their Oklahoma game yesterday. Same thing. 5 minutes. Just
is Lenoris a guy that could maybe play bad enough that the NFL does not want him all that much?
Well, apparently, if you're apparently he's still in the top three round discussion, but he was.
I see, but I don't.
You went from number one, yeah, from top 10 to now top three rounds. Just let this season keep playing out 6-7 more weeks and watch that slide just slide on down.
Now, obviously we talked about it. I think we've talked about it this week even. He will be a combine guy. He will be a pro day guy where everybody is amazed with what he does. He'll get that bump, sure. But that bump can only take you so far. Like, Anthony Richardson was a friend. Like, people were already throwing him in that conversation of like, well, he's got all these tools. Maybe he could be a first. And then he does the pro day thing. Then he does the combine thing. If you are if you're a third, fourth, fifth round guy going into those, it's going to be really hard to work your way into the first round, no matter how good you perform. So I don't think it'd be all that unrealistic to see Lenoris maybe end up staying at South Carolina for another year.
Anthony Richardson, his redshirt sophomore year, which let him go number four in the draft, right?
I think so, yeah.
He was 53%. 53% completion. Mm-hmm. 2,500 yards. This is 12 games. So he must have gotten hurt for a bowl game. Right. 12 games, 53%, basically 54%, 53.8. 54% completion, 2,500 yards, 2,550, 17 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Let me look. You got rushing, right?
He did that cool spin against Maryland, remember?
654 rushing yards, 9 more touchdowns. So 17 and 9 is 26 total touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Do I have a fumbles here? No, didn't lose a fumble. Great. Didn't fumble that season. So Lenoris, you're on track, brother. You're at 64% completion at 1134, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, rushing yards, 108 rushing yards and 1 touchdown. That's the one area that I am wondering about Lenoris a little bit and the South Carolina offense and then Mike Shula is you're not running him near as much as maybe you would think you would run a sideboard type quarterback.
Yeah, it feels like most of his rushes come off of plays breaking down as opposed to actual design runs for the quarterback when, like you just said, like that's one of his main skill sets. He is still like, you know, a good passer and can move the ball downfield, yes. But like he's a dual threat quarterback.
Is Lenore Sellers suffering from the Jalen Milroe syndrome? You remember Jalen would just run. Just use your skill set. Well, I want to be a passing quarterback. I want to prove to everybody I'm a passing quarterback. Yeah. And just hold the ball. Now, he got it going with design quarterback runs under Sheridan and really did utilize that aspect of his game. But I think that there was an internal struggle between Jalen Milroe and his camp and the Alabama coaching staff. We're running him this week X amount of times on these plays. Like, do it or don't play. You know,
at the end of the day, what's the difference if you're getting 8 yards by dumping it off to the tight end or 8 yards by running for it? 8 yards is 8 yards is 8 yards. I don't know, though. Maybe a little bit. My gut tells me that Lenoris is a much better quarterback than Jalen Milroe, but I'm not positive at this point of the season because we haven't really seen him be all that different. I don't know. His numbers would be better, I think, if they used him more in the way that I think they should. Maybe my opinion's invalid, but it just seems like they're not using him the right way. And I know the offensive line is bad, so it's hard to get anything going, but I don't know.
That's what I want to really talk to Alex Joyce about here just a little bit. They're bringing back Marquis Anderson and Nolan Hay, who have been hurt for quite some time. Nolan Hay, this team starter at center, was hurt in the Missouri game, and Anderson went down in the Kentucky game. So missed a few games for South Carolina. Let's see. They've played how many games? So Anderson missed Kentucky, LSU, and Oklahoma, and Hay missed LSU, Oklahoma, and part in the second part of that Kentucky game. So I mean, it's not all just we've been hurt. Because you played how many games? You played 7 games, right? So it's not
even
like
when you're healthy, you're not great.
No, right. When I put on South Carolina yesterday, they don't have a running back that can pass block to save their life. You don't got to
that hurts.
Right. Rasul Faison is 24 years old and can't pass block.
Yeah.
He's a graduate level player. He's been in college for 10 years.
15 years. Yeah.
And still can't pass block. Now, good little runner. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Good little runner. But Oklahoma shooting gaps. Oklahoma you had confusion in pass pro in a handful of different situations where Kane Womack. Just get your 5 best blitzes, brother.
Yeah.
Get your 5 best blitzes, get your 3 best coverages, and let's roll.
So, you know, you obviously have watched this South Carolina team a lot closer than I have over the last week or so.
My eyes are bleeding.
It seems like, I guess, it's more of a – I mean, I guess it's still a schematic issue because we're complaining about Mike Shula's – but it seems like it's more of just them being hampered by a lack of talent at key positions. You've got a good quarterback. You got a good receiver. Iffy running backs, bad offensive line, and, you know, defense, you've got a couple stars, but overall, I don't know that your unit as a whole is the best.
Right. It all starts, I mean, everything that we talked about in the summer with Alabama and the offensive line and all the conversations we've still had about will they ever set on a first five still exists for Alabama, but you've had competency. At least you've had a baseline of competency. Yeah. You can look at one player here, one player there. Like, I know everybody likes to talk about Wilkin.
Wilkin out, he's probably playing at a C.
Right. Maybe even a little better. Sure. But, like, you've got the bad plays for Wilkin, but you've got good plays as well. Yeah. And Alabama's doing things that help him, chipping tight ends, chipping running backs, you move in the pocket, this, that, and the other.
Him and Quavis have to be best friends by now.
Yeah. I mean, it's same thing on the inside. Geno, super smart. Maybe just physically deficient.
Yeah.
Cam Dewberry maybe needs a little more conditioning work. Maybe this, that, like there are small areas in the offensive line that you're like, oh, I wish this was better. Yeah. Wish that was better. But on the whole, you're receiving competent. And the other part, you got a quarterback back there that sees everything that's setting the protection pretty well.
And I also think you have an offensive staff that is able to move and manipulate and call things in ways where they can keep the defense on their toes, maybe a little more effectively than Mike Shula's been able to.
All right. When you have 3 NFL receivers, like Nick Harbor is going to be an NFL draft pick, but I don't really see him being – I don't really see him like right now, everybody plays NCAA football.
It's not Justin Jefferson out there.
Right. Everybody plays the video game and they see 99 speed and they think he's amazing. And it's just like, he doesn't run routes that way.
Yeah. It's like that's all he does. All
right. It's either straight down the field or I'll run a crossing route. To try to threaten coverage, you know, by making you going through the middle of the coverage. Like, is he going to run an 8-yard hook route? No. Is he going to run a 15-yard dig? Like Jeremy Bernard, you put Jeremy on a dig route, and that is that is X-rated, honestly, because it is that.
That man, he has every single route in his wheelhouse. It's amazing.
Exactly. And so, and you've got Ryan, who is growing his route tree by the day, moving into the slot, moving to the outside, and you just got this crew of wide receivers. I think Isaiah Horton's a pretty good little route runner as well. I don't think he's great.
The arrival, though.
Right.
So we see it.
Right.
But just the relationship that, for whatever reason, it seems like he specifically has with Jamarcus Shepherd. I don't know what the connection there is, but they have some sort of special bond. And I'm sure most of the people listening saw it, but if you didn't, you can go find it on your Twitter page. Jamarcus Shepherd, and he brings Isaiah Horton over before the Tennessee game to this little girl who's standing there on the sideline, and you think it's going to be like a, hey, look, this is Sally. She's here to meet you, Isaiah, whatever. And he just starts screaming, "You see this little girl? She came here to see excellence today. She didn't come here to see no BS. This little girl came to see the Crimson." It's the crazy. This little girl is scared. Her parents are probably scared. And Isaiah's just, "Yeah, coach, yeah, coach." And then, you know, he went out there and did the dang thing. I don't know. I love their relationship. I love Isaiah Horton. Sorry, that just really got me off on a tangent there.
I think Jamarcus Shepherd, like, for
he's
all
the, he's a psychopath.
Yeah, for all the talk of Kalen DeBoer doesn't care. He's not showing emotion. You've got enough people on the staff that are doing that. And Coach DeBoer did really this past Saturday leading into the game. I think that Coach DeBoer is kind of at the place where, did you hear him last night on Hey Coach?
Maybe. Was it him talking about not knowing? I know I saw some quote of him where, you know, somebody asked him, I guess, about hitting the goalpost. And he's sure. Like, well, I wasn't quite sure that they had started the recording or something like that.
It wasn't that I'm leading into. They asked him, well, fan question from Baumhauer's. Mm-hmm. Hey, coach, what's your favorite band? Well, you know, his birthday's coming up. Don't know exactly the date. I need a Kalen DeBoer. His birthday is October 24th. So tomorrow, all Friday, right. Wow. Friday, right. Happy birthday. Happy early birthday, coach. I knew it was coming up. They present him with a K, just like they used to do with Coach Saban, right?
Heck yeah.
And one of the fan questions, hey, coach, just want to know, your birthday coming up. Happy early birthday. What's your favorite birthday memory? Like, this is the level of psychopath that I think he is. It's not, I got to rah-rah and scream and mother bleep people and get everybody, you know, which he has a little over over this year, and just a little. It's this level. Well, my birthday's always in the season, so I don't really celebrate it. I don't really know.
Love that.
I'm focused on the season. That's and now it's just like, what?
It's like, coach, you had 25 of them before you started coaching.
Right, and none of them matter. Not
the bike that you got when you were 12. You know,
right?
Not the puppy that your parents gave you when you were a little kid.
No. Right. You're 16, and your parents took you to a game on birthday weekend or something. No,
he was on the whiteboard drawing up plays.
Exactly. And so I think he, you know, people ask him what his favorite foods are sometimes, his favorite music are sometimes. And he's like, well, I like most foods. I like food, you know, food's good. Music, you know, whatever
he,
music
he's a guy
good.
Where if he could just have three meals a day in pill form, he'd just take that and not even think about
it. Because it's all about football for him. And so, like, you've got a staff right now that is, I think, very balanced in their approach to different things toward, hey, coach, you know, the weather outside's bad. Oh, it's fine. We can play in it. You know, it's not thunder and lightning. Yeah. Like, there's nothing that I don't think Coach DeBoer cares about anything except for schematics and getting ready for the next game.
Yeah. This staff, the more comfortable that they get here, and you see it every week with all of them in the media. You see it with the video clips that we get. You know, the little touches of pregame, halftime, postgame speeches and things. Like, they just get more and more comfortable week in, week out, and it really they have really grown on me a lot. I am going to be disappointed if they can't keep the core of this staff together, and it's obviously probably not going to be able to.
But. Yeah, I asked Zach yesterday. I don't remember if you chimed in on it, but all these staff openings across the country, all these firings, midseason firings. You worried about Ryan Grubb? I'm not worried because you mentioned Kane.
Yeah, I'm not less worried about Kane.
I think Kane got the taste of head coaching and thought, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I am worried about Ryan Grubb, though, just because I know they're going to come calling. He's operating one of the most electrifying offenses in the country right now. To what I just said of like seeing them get more and more comfortable kind of week. And he does weirdly, and this is just me looking and watching. I don't have any information to back this up. But just watching the way that he talks to the team and things, it does seem like he is growing to really love it here, and it's kind of like growing on him as well. So maybe that will play into it some, that he just wants to stick with his boys and ride this thing out. But, you know, it's hard to pass up a head coaching job. He didn't pass up the NFL job, and we all couldn't blame him then. And I couldn't blame him if he took a head coaching job, but it would suck.
I don't see him as a fit for Penn State.
No, I don't. I mean,
I don't see any of these guys as a fit for the current.
You know open. Who would be a great fit for Penn State? James Franklin.
I saw somebody conjecture that it would be Eli Drinkwitz to Penn State and James Franklin filling in for him at Missouri, like a total swap.
I could kind of see happening.
I think Eli, don't do that, coach.
No, please don't. I think you're in a pretty similar spot where you are. I know people laud Penn State as this like premier, one of the best jobs in the country, but it's not. You still have to beat Ohio State and Oregon. You can't do that.
And Michigan.
You know, like you're in the same place at Missouri where you're going against Alabama, Georgia.
And you're restarting. Yeah, you're restarting your program.
That's a lateral move to me. At the current place of where those two programs are, you know, Missouri to Penn State would be a pretty lateral move for Eli Drinkwitz.
Well,
I think he's built up a pretty good thing there in Missouri, and they love him a lot. So I'm getting on the thing after they beat Auburn, and yeah, you know, that was good.
Right. He's
I think it plays for him. You know, if Kalen DeBoer did that, it would be a little cringe, but.
And we, yeah, for sure. But I love Eli.
I do.
I'm a big fan.
I really am. I just enjoy him a lot. I think he's a perfect personality for the SEC, just being that weird little wild card out there in Columbia.
All right, so let's turn our attention back to South Carolina with Alex Joyce. Before we do, though, I want to remind you guys that we are proudly presented by Strength Roofing and Siding. When severe weather strikes, your roof's your home's first line of defense. Storms with high winds, heavy rains, and hail can cause serious damage that isn't always visible from the ground. At Strength Roofing and Siding, we specialize in storm and hail damage, roof repair and restoration across all of central Mississippi and Alabama. We provide fast inspections, expert repairs, and insurance claim support to help you quickly recover and protect your home. A professional assessment from a trusted roofer is essential. With over 45 years of serving Alabama and Mississippi, Strength Roofing and Siding provides expert storm damage repair and replacement. Call right now for your free, no-risk assessment at 205-858-9050. We've had Zach on the program for several weeks now. Zach Guffey, you can call him today at 205-858-9050. He'll come out there. He'll talk ball with you. He'll get up on your roof, check out what you got. He'll make sure that you're set for the summer season ahead next summer, but really winter is upon us. So make sure that you want to have all your insulation right. You want to have all your temperature right. He'll make sure that your roof is taken care of. So as he said yesterday on the program, it's shingle roofs, it's metal roofs, it's any kind of roofs. He'll come out there and make sure it's in good shape. And look, just because you call him doesn't mean that you're buying a roof. Call him at 205-858-9050. They'll come out and give you a free inspection. If you don't need a roof, all he'll say is, man, you're looking good for the next couple years or whatever needs to happen. He's going to give you an honest assessment, and honesty often is so hard to come by. So make sure you use Strength Roofing and Siding. They'll give you the peace of mind that you deserve and make you feel secure in your home. 205-858-9050.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All right, we want to have a lot of fun and get smarter on the program. So we're going out to South Carolina Gamecocks on SI's Alex Joyce. Follow him on the Twitter machine at Alex Joyce on SI, covering the South Carolina Gamecocks. Oh, man, you are carrying a lot of weight this year with this terrible football team. Well, bad performance. Maybe they are a good football team. Bad performances. So you're doing the Lord's work covering the Gamecocks for the On SI Network. Good morning, Alex. Thank you so much for your time, and how are you doing?
I'm good, guys. Thank y'all for having me. How are you guys?
Very, very good. Excited about this week. Worried about potential trap issues for Alabama. This looks very similar to a game against a bad Oklahoma team in Norman last year. It looks kind of like a letdown situation against Vanderbilt last season. So a little worried about the game, seeing sporadic places of talent for South Carolina, but also seeing the bad results. So not so settled on this week's game, but we're very excited to talk to you and to get to Columbia. I'll be over there this weekend. So what are we going to find out? What are we going to walk into in Williams-Brice Stadium? I know you got the Fire Mike Shula protest going on. The entire 20-man brigade is out there screaming. protesting quotes. Just give us your assessment before we get into anything specific on what's been going on this season, kind of a 50,000-foot view of the South Carolina Gamecocks.
I think the best way I described it last week was disappointment, because I think you came into this season off a 9-1 season, which was your first time since about like 2017. You had a superstar quarterback. People were labeling as a potential top five pick. Across from him on the other side of the ball, you had Dylan Stewart, who was projected to be one of the better defensive ends in all of college football. Like, to see what he did as a true freshman, like, people were just all over him. But then you come into the season, you're a top 15 team. Like, the expectation is to take the next step, win 10 or 11 games, and then go into the playoffs. So since then, it's just kind of all went downhill. And honestly, from the first game, that's when you could kind of see some things there. So Virginia Tech, Kyron Jones is a good player, but for the most part, Virginia Tech is a bad football team. Like, they lost a lot of guys in the transfer portal, either to SEC schools or to the NFL. And so you knew coming in they weren't going to be a great football team, and your offense kind of struggled. And so you give them a pass there because you think, oh, okay, well, in Shane Beamer's time there at South Carolina, they tend to struggle a little bit out of the gate there. But then it's been a constant theme since then, and that's pretty much why they're sitting at 3-4 right now. So I think the best way to describe this football team is just kind of been a disappointment. You can kind of hear that and how I think the players genuinely love playing for Shane Beamer. I do think he's a good football coach, but I think that just from a program from the top down, he mentioned that in his presser this week, like, he's disappointed. The players are disappointed. The fans are disappointed. Everybody within that has anything to do with South Carolina, it's just been a disappointing season, knowing where the preseason expectations were coming in.
We're hanging out with Alex Joyce. Alex Joyce on SI on the Twitter machine, talking about Alabama and South Carolina. And Alex, I want to take you to right where you went with Dylan Stewart. I'm looking at the availability report, and I'm not seeing his name. But when I watched the Oklahoma game this past week, he's in and out of the lineup. Basically, oh, it's third and long, I'm getting back out there to rush the passer. What's he been dealing with, and what is his health situation? What are the Alabama tackles going to be facing with Dylan Stewart this coming week?
Yeah, so he went out, believe earlier in that game with a hip flexor injury, and then came back in and just tried to do certain things. Like, he went to the locker room, came back, played a play, and then was out again for a little while, and then was sporadically just in and out of the lineup the entire game. I think he was just dealing with a bruise there. He's going to be fine. He's going to be playing this game. I think that is kind of one of the positives you can find on South Carolina's defense right now, is him and then his bookend, Brian Thomas Jr. But both of them have been solid. I don't think Dylan has reached the superstar level that a lot of people around in the media and fans thought he would be at this time, but he's still capable of being that player. Like, he's still capable. I still remember last year, I believe it was the game against Kentucky as a true freshman, when South Carolina went out and blew them out on the road. He had like three guys blocking him at one time and pushed two of them back into the quarterback. Like, he's still capable of being that player. We just have not seen it in the way that we saw Kyle Kennard for South Carolina last year, who turned those into 11 and a half sacks. So I think that's the next evolution into who Dylan Stewart is. I don't know whether it's he's just been dealing with some nagging things, if it's a scheme thing or what it may be. But again, he just hasn't reached those levels yet. He has the talent to. So we'll see if he kind of, you know, finishes the season off strong. But I think he's sitting around just under four sacks right now.
Sticking with the defense here, you know, obviously South Carolina has a tall task ahead of them facing off against Alabama's, what, five deep wide receiver room now at this point. just really, what do you see or what do you kind of predict their level of success is going to be this weekend facing off against, you know, two guys that are probably going to be first rounders, maybe a third guy, maybe four guys, who knows?
Yeah, I'm still hoping as an Atlanta Falcons fan that Jeremy Bernard just goes under the radar and we can steal him in the second round. I would love to have him in that offense in Atlanta, possibly with a new offensive coordinator, but we'll get to that point later on. But, you know, I think this is by far the best receiving core they will have faced and will face for the rest of the year. I mean, you talk about, like, you have the – everybody knows the superstar Ryan Williams because of what he did against Georgia last year. Like, that catch still plays in people's mind, going over the top, spinning, juking people. Like, he's one of the better athletes with the ball in his hand after the catch. Like, his ability to stop on a dime, to just run by you, and to cut in different ways that should not be possible for a lot of people. He's awesome. But just from the receiving core in general, this is by far going to be the best thing. Now, for South Carolina side of things, that tends to be their best defensive part of their team as well. Like, their back end of their secondary is fourth in the SEC. They're a very veteran-led secondary. But what has given them problems is really the front seven, because over time the front seven has not been able to stop the run. And it makes sense, because your front seven has been gutted from last year with the guys going off to the NFL. You've lost, you know, three defensive linemen just in defensive tackles. You lost Kyle Kennard, who was the SEC leader in sacks, or like tied for it. And you lost three linebackers. Like, you knew coming into the year that it wasn't going to be the same front seven. And I think that's what's kind of given South Carolina trouble, is because teams now know we can run on them, which is now forcing those defensive backs to step up a little bit, and teams going to go over the top. So that's my concern with this Alabama receiver unit, and especially with Ty Simpson. I know y'all mentioned, you know, maybe this is a trap game with how they played against Oklahoma and Vandy last year. You don't have Jalen Milroe at quarterback anymore. You've got what ends up is probably the best quarterback in the country right now, at least playing like it. Like, Ty Simpson is on time. He's efficient. He's doing everything that Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer want to do in this offense. And now you pair that with the talent they have at receiver. I think that can cause a lot of problems for South Carolina, especially throughout as the night goes on, if they're unable to stop the run, if they're unable to stop Jam Miller and those guys.
Absolutely. We're talking to Alex Joyce from South Carolina Gamecocks on SI. You can follow him at Alex Joyce on SI. We should stay on the defensive side of the football. And we look around and see three familiar names in Sean Murphy, Justin Okoronkwo, and Monkel Goodwine. Monkel Goodwine is listed on the injury report as probable this coming week. I'd just like to get your assessment on these three former Alabama players. Obviously, Sean Murphy took a pit stop at Florida State, but Justin Okoronkwo probably would have been on the field a little bit this year for Alabama. Monkel Goodwine definitely would have been in the rotation on the defensive line. So tell us about these three former Alabama players, what you've seen out of them this year, and kind of what your expectation is for them on Saturday.
Of the three, I would say Monkel is probably the most important for South Carolina to get back if they can get him healthy, just because of what they lost on the defensive line. You have Nick Barrett beside him, but you've lost Alex Huntley, who had played a lot of football games for you. You lost Tonka Hemingway, who was a big body in there for you. And so you've lost a lot of guys there. So to get him back as like a consistent player for them is probably the most important. But then when you look at the linebackers, Sean Murphy is the biggest leader in the room right now, as far as like his experience wise, game wise. They've got a guy that they recruited in Fred, who's just an athletic freak, similar to how Justin is. And they've been kind of rotating those guys in. So what I've seen from Justin, he's just, again, just showing his athletic profile. He's a good player. He's going to continue to get better. Sean is more the leader in that clubhouse. But again, most important for this defense specifically because of what you've lost on that defensive line. Granted, again, you've got Dylan Stewart on one end and Brian Thomas Jr. on the other, who have played a lot of football together. But in the middle of that defense, they really need Monkel Goodwine here. Again, to be able to stop the run, it's just not something they've been able to do. What are they, 12th in the SEC in stopping the run this year? Somehow finding a way to be worse on offense doing that, running the ball. But he's going to be a big part, and if not, it usually tends to cause problems.
mentioned the offense there, and that's kind of, I guess, where I want to go next. And I'll ask you about the coaching staff here. Obviously, the rumblings of the fire Mike Shula protests and things that I don't think really had too great of a turnout there in Columbia. But, you know, the messaging is out there that the fans are not very happy with Mike Shula's performance this year as the offensive coordinator. Is any of that bleeding over?
Call a 2 yard line.
Is any of that bleeding over into the fans? You know, is there any concern, I guess, that Shane Beamer could be on the way out if this season continues to kind of spiral out of control? Is there any concern that he may be looking at that Virginia Tech job? Where do things lie with Shane Beamer? Is firing Mike Shula at the end of the year going to buy him another year there in South Carolina?
Yeah, I think that's probably where things are headed, as Mike Shula not being here in 2026. So with Shane specifically, like, I think there's more smoke around Twitter and the fan base with that Virginia Tech job. And again, there is ties to it, right? Like, his dad was a legendary head coach there. You know, he played there. It's like a reunion of some sorts coming back there, being able to take over the program his father once built. But I do tend to believe him when he came in and said South Carolina's been is my dream job. He worked there before he went over to Oklahoma and into Georgia and Oklahoma and those things. Like, I do think he loves being here. And personally, to me, I do think the South Carolina job is a much better than the Virginia Tech job. Now, they may be at this time more lenient in allowing you to lose games and trying to rebuild a roster that really needs a lot of help over there in Blacksburg. But here in South Carolina, you have a better chance at winning. And winning something at least here. And so, he's got talent on the roster, right? You've got a good quarterback, you've got at least talent level, good receivers and things of that nature. But as far as him, I don't foresee this being a hot seat thing for him. At the end of the year, I think it is something he's probably going to move on from Mike Shula. I think he's bought himself time for how well he started out at the beginning. Then he kind of had a down year in 23 with injuries. And then last year was such a good one. I don't think they would fire him. Even if he were to just go win 4 games this year, I don't think they would fire him. I do think he might go into the hot seat going into 2026, but I don't think they would fire him for that. But that's kind of been his main issue, though, since he's taken the job, whether it be Marcus Satterfield. I mean, Dowell Loggins had a good year at the end of last year. I don't know if that's more on Lenore Sellers just being Lenore Sellers, and we'll touch on him in a second, too, but or it's Mike Shula in this case. And Mike Shula's claim to fame was, oh, well, I coached Cam Newton at the height of his powers. You know, maybe I can do a Lenore Sellers at that same point. It just has not worked. Like, the running game looks uncreative. You've got talent in the wide receiver room, but you can't block correctly up front, whether that be an offensive line coach issue or not. You can't do that correctly. Your red zone calls have not been great. Like, it's just one thing after another. And Shane has been willing to make changes. I mean, he did just fire his offensive line coach.
Made a change last week, Jack.
Yeah, like he can do that. Yeah, and he was not happy about that question. I think he's willing to make changes. I don't know that making an in-season change for your offensive coordinator is probably the right call right now. I think you just kind of bite the bullet and see where you can go from here and trying to get better. But I think changes at that spot need to happen next year, especially if you're going to sell Lenore Sellers coming back in 2026. Because right now, with his talent, we saw Anthony Richardson go there and go top 5 in that draft when I didn't personally think he should. I understood the talent. I know NFL scouts love guys that are big, strong, can run, and they think, oh, well, if we get him here, we can fix him. That hardly ever works out. The only one I can think of in recent memory working out was Josh Allen, and I think the Buffalo Bills are extremely lucky that that happened, or they're probably all without jobs right now too. So when it comes to Lenore Sellers, I think he should return to college for another year. I think that it would help him as a passer. I think it would help him as leading an offense. But if you're going to convince him of doing that, I don't think it's going to be with Mike Shula calling plays again. And so I think that you're going to have to just kind of revamp things offensively. I think that's where it's going to go in the offseason.
So that's where we'll go next then, as I'll ask you about Sellers, because obviously this season has not quite panned out the way that many people expected it to for him. But I'm not sure if it's exactly his fault for a lot of the reasons you just laid out. The offensive coaching staff has struggled. The offensive line has looked bad. The receivers haven't really given him a ton of help. So, you know, where do you fall with Sellers as far as, you know, what are the steps to maybe fixing what has happened this season? Or where do you think he is as a quarterback? Has he regressed this year? Or where do you kind of fall with him?
I don't know that I see regression as much. I think that he's just trying to play Superman ball right now. And so, like, I think that you have an offensive line that has been banged up, but even when they were healthy, wasn't super great. Now you get Nolan Hay and Marquis Anderson back, which has been good. But specifically about him, like, I think he's holding on to the ball a little too long at times because he's trying to make a big play downfield. And when you're down multiple scores in a game and have a running game that's really been non-existent for most of the season, you're going to – and you know that, like, you've been able to break – to me, he's the best quarterback I've seen in the last 3 to 4 years that's able to get out of sacks and make plays downfield. Like, his base is so strong and he's very fast. He's the best player South Carolina has on offense with the ball in his hand every time, which is why they give him so many options. And that can go back to play calling, but he needs to have 10 quarterback design runs every single game. I don't mean snapping the ball, play breaks down, then you run. That's on top of things. I mean quarterback draws. I mean in the read option game. Like, he needs to be carrying the ball because he's by far your best player. And I know you have another 5-star Nick Harbor on the outside of that, but at this point, unless you're throwing a go ball to Nick, it's not really like he's not a real good route runner in a lot. So with Sellers, like, he has basically, they've been asking him to play Superman ball. And it's just been tough because defenses know you're going to have to do that. And, you know, Alabama's coming in with possibly the best defensive back room they're going to face all year. So how are you expected to throw on that when you haven't been able to throw on other teams this season? And if you're going to go against another good offensive or defensive line that's going to come after you, now you're going to have to try. I think he's just going to have to play Superman ball this entire year to try and make up for some of the offensive mistakes that's going on right now.
We're hanging out with Alex Joyce. And Alex, I really appreciate your time. Make sure you guys go follow him at Alex Joyce on SI, covering the South Carolina Gamecocks for the On SI Network. Let's move up front a little bit more specifically. You mentioned the offensive linemen that South Carolina is getting back. I'd like you just kind of assess the offensive line, because I just see lots of missed assignments, not so tough blocking up front. But I'd like to also take you over to the stat sheet. You mentioned the poor running game. Alabama and South Carolina are neighbors in both categories. Running the football, South Carolina 106 yards a game, last in the conference. Alabama 125 yards a game, second to last in the conference, 14th. But then defensively, Alabama 13th in the conference, stopping the run at 154. South Carolina 12th in the conference at 150. Is that where this game is going to be? If South Carolina can get its running game going against, you know, Alabama hasn't been great against stopping the run either. Take us into this offensive line, what it means to get these two guys back more specifically, and just kind of all the shuffling that's been going on up front in front of Lenoris.
Yeah, I think it may help to an extent to build depth. I don't think that's how you want to build depth because of how the injuries they face and how that's happened, but I think it has built up a little bit of depth. But you are getting Nolan Hay back, who is your starting center, which is huge because Boaz Stanley has been playing in that role. I think he's better suited to play the guard. So getting him to switch over to guard and having Nolan Hay back there. Marquis, yeah, getting him, he's an experienced player, getting him back at the guard position. Now you have him and Boaz there. I think the biggest loss is Cason Henry and at right tackle. So he's going to be out for the year. He's not coming back in this game. He won't be back, as according to Shane Beamer, for the rest of the year. Now you're going to have Tree Babalade, who's been in the program for a while. He was left tackle before Josiah Thompson came in last year and took over that position. But just as a unit, I think you're just getting more talent in the room, which can help. But South Carolina's problems on the offensive line and what kind of led to the firing of Lonnie Teasley, as you mentioned it, misassignments, but also penalties on offense. Like that line has having a lot of pre-snap penalties that has caused this offense to move back. And an offense that is already struggling, moving backwards is never good. So, like, because you can't get out, you're basically a death sentence. As soon as first and 10 happens, you go to first and 15, you might as well just punt the ball because they are barely struggling to get first and 10 after your opening drive starts. So, and then when you go to the running backs, Rozel Faison is a good running back as far as having the ball in his hands. I don't know that he's a great pass blocker. So that's why they've been trying to do things with Matthew Fuller or getting Jawan Howell in there. But your best runner still is Lenoir Sellers. So your best opportunity is still to have him with the ball in your hand. So if you're talking about running back specifically, I would take Jam Miller clearly as the best running back in this game. Like I have a lot of respect for Jam. I love watching Jam play. I know he's hurt earlier in the year. Maybe that's why some of the stats kind of go down there for Alabama, but he's a really good player. I would probably take him if I'm just kind of getting an advantage of one of the two teams. But I think both teams are probably going to be able to run the ball a little bit, but it's the pass game that I'm really looking at. I think that's where the clear advantage is for Alabama.
So in that pass game, I do want to ask you about South Carolina's pass game, the receiver room specifically with Lenoris there with, you know, we mentioned Nick Harbor just a bit, maybe being kind of only a go ball guy. And I think me and Joe had kind of said the same thing before we even brought you on here. Jaden Sellers, that relationship there, is that, you know, you mentioned Lenoris maybe coming back for another year. Is that something that is probably potentially very likely going to play into that decision at all? That relationship there, that, you know, quarterback to receiver connection, is that something that maybe hasn't quite developed the way you wanted it to this season, but, you know, projecting a bit, if you can get Lenoris back, is that something that you're watching for maybe being a prime time connection?
It could be. They got a lot of work. Like he's coming into the, he wasn't like a high, like he's a 3-star recruit. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, we've seen many 3-stars become superstars. Like that doesn't mean you can't be that player. But when you're just looking at recruiting rankings, he's a true freshman. So he's behind Nick Harbor, Mazio Bennett Jr., Evandravius Jacobs. Like he's just not at the top of the lineup yet. So he had a good game, or at least got some more opportunities in this last couple games that he's played so far. And maybe that'll continue going on forward. As far as, you know, Lenore staying, I'm sure that might play a part, but I don't know that it's going to be the end all be all for him. Whether that's, if he gets a good grade back in the NFL, like if they give him a first round grade, he's gone. Because and why wouldn't you be, right? Like that's guaranteed money. And especially in the NFL, where they call it not for long league, like you're there for 3.5 years. But if you're a high first round draft pick, you automatically get more chances than anybody else does, especially when you're a high first round draft pick and you have the talent level that Lenore Sellers shows. So if he gets like a top 15 grade, I don't know why he would come back. And I don't think he would. Like, I think that his agent and his team would say, let's just go to the NFL and let's go from there. But I just think it's just going to have to be a sit down conversation of the direction of this football team, where they're going, you know, who is it going to be Mike Shula? If it is going to be Mike Shula, how are those things going to be different? I mean, I think before the season, if I remember correctly, he had like an $8 million, at least it was reported, an $8 million NIL offer to jump in the portal. So if that comes back, and then I'm not saying it's Ohio State, it's not Ohio State, they've got Julian saying they're good. But if you're telling me a team like Ohio State with Ryan Day with those weapons is offering you that much money, and you're like, okay, I'm coming back to college, how do I want to develop? Well, do I want to stay at South Carolina with Mike Shula in an offense that hasn't been created and has been very predictable and is scoring 13 points per game against SEC opponents this year? Do I really want to subject myself to that, running around, possibly getting injured? Or am I going to go over here where I know I'm going to get developed, I know I'm going to play in nationally televised games every week, and I have all these weapons to throw to? So I think that's what, in terms of him specifically, if you're going to make a decision on when you're coming back or not, is one, going to be what your grade is from the NFL draft. And then two, I need to have these clear, you know, answers of what's going to happen with this offense and then look from there. But with Jaden, yeah, I think I think he and his brother should build a good connection this year. Like at this point in the season, you're 3-4. The playoff is clearly out of the picture. Right now, you're fighting for a bowl game. I mean, you've got Alabama this week. You got a bye week, and you got Texas A&M, Coastal, and Clemson. Like right now, the outlook is you're not making a bowl game. Because like if you're a betting man, I would put the house on you not making a bowl game, especially if you lose this week. Now, if you win this week, maybe all that can change. I don't foresee that happening. But if you do win, that's where it starts. But right now, you've got a murderer's row of a schedule and an offense that is looking for so many answers. So, yeah, make him happy by putting Jaden in there. Maybe they can make some plays together as brothers. But I don't know that that's going to weigh in totally too much into that situation later on.
All right, let's start wrapping it up with Alex Joyce, South Carolina Gamecocks on SI. We're going to be over there on Saturday, 2:30, 3:30 Eastern. Alex, photos that I saw was of a not-so-full Williams-Brice Stadium. That's expected to change this weekend as it's homecoming. Tell me about the environment. I grew up as a Georgia fan, So I grew up as the Georgia-South Carolina game being always kind of dangerous for Georgia, going over to Williams-Brice Stadium in a really hot early season matchup. So I'm kind of really – I'm excited to see Williams-Brice Stadium for the first time and hear Sandstorm over the loudspeakers. I've been asking the players about Sandstorm throughout the week, and they said, oh, we've been playing it. It's okay. I'm not really a techno guy. We'll see. What's your thoughts on Sandstorm, the environment, and just kind of what it's going to be like on Saturday for the fans?
Yeah, I still think Williams-Brice Stadium is one of the more underrated stadiums in the SEC. Like, I do think that when that crowd is hopping, it's going crazy, and especially if the game's like close in the fourth quarter or they're winning by a big margin. I mean, I don't know if you guys are going to be in the press box this week, if you're going to be on the ground. If you're in the press box when they're doing Sandstorm, you can feel the press box move. Like, it bounces as you're up there because of how crazy it is. It's a lot of fun, and the environment's really, really cool. But you're going to have to keep them engaged to keep that going on the entire game. Like, if it was what Ole Miss last year when Lane Kiffin came in and basically dog walked them, like to a tune of like 28-3 or 28-7, something like that. But you can take the crowd out if you're dominating them. But if that game is close, that crowd's going to play a part in it. And I think that's what you call the Willie B magic, right? Like, that's what we saw. You mentioned Georgia. Like, I grew up a Georgia fan. I graduated from Georgia. That was always a game, especially like in 2011, like the Steve Spurrier, Connor Shaw years, where I hated playing South Carolina because I knew how good of a team that was. And then having to go on the road and play them. When they're good, they're hype in there. So if you can't take them out of the game early, they're going to play a factor in this one. And give them credit, even when they're bad, they're still loving their football team. And I love that. I love not to see just whole empty crowds and 30,000 people there instead of 80, 90,000 people there. So it's a lot of fun. They're just going to have to keep it close to make sure. Because if you go into halftime down 27-10, it's not going to be the same as it would be if you're 17-10, maybe 14-7, something like that, because they know you're going to be hyped up for the second half.
Well, Tuscaloosa hasn't been over there since, what was it, 2019? As we head over there this weekend, what sort of we like to eat, we like to have a good time. What will Alabama fans be looking to do? What would you suggest we have a meal or see a sight, or what's important to do in Columbia to maximize our weekend?
Well, tailgating is always fun. So if you can jump on a tailgate somewhere, that'd be great. You just missed the state fair, which was last week, which was it's kind of terrible. I mean, that's terrible in the sense that you missed it. Like, that the state fair is fun. It's a good time out there. But yeah, man. I mean, it's your typical college scene in the SEC. If you like to have a few drinks, there's a lot of good bars down there. There's a lot of good eating down there. It's just good Southern food and. I mean, even in stadium, they take care of you. They're well there too. So, I would just get there early and have fun and relax and if the drinking is your thing, have a few drinks. If not, get you a Coke and enjoy the stadium, the atmosphere. I mean, South Carolina fans are very nice. They've been welcoming to a guy that's been a Georgia fan all his life. It's going to be a fun time.
Well, he's Alex Joyce. You can follow him at Alex Joyce on SI, writing for South Carolina Gamecocks on SI. Alex, we'll leave you the last word. Maybe if you want to throw a prediction in here, it's okay. What are your final thoughts as we go into the game this weekend?
Yeah, I'm not sure about like my score there yet. I do think Alabama wins, and I do think Alabama covers. Like, right now, they're 12.5-point favorites on FanDuel, so I do think they're going to come. It's probably going to be I just think in this, because of how talented Alabama is and how South Carolina has struggled, I think the dam is just going to break at some point. So, it's probably South Carolina's averaging 13 points a game on defense. Can they get to 14? Can they get to 17? I don't know. I'm more thinking maybe somewhere in the 30-13 range, maybe 33-14, something like that. But it's like I said last week when I was talking to the guys over through the keyhole for the Oklahoma game, is for an offense that is trying to find rhythm, doing that against the Oklahoma defense is not really going to be helpful. And in the same way, this week, though, Oklahoma is probably has a better defensive line than Alabama does, that secondary is just as good, if not better. And I think that, especially with the talent that Alabama has in the back end. So I think that if you're struggling passing the ball and you can't run the ball, it's not going to be a pretty game. So to give you kind of just the summation here, I do think Alabama wins, and I do think they cover that 12.5-point spread.
Alex Joyce, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great to meet you, get to know you. We'll see you on Saturday. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Y'all have a good one.
Absolutely. He's Alex Joyce. You follow him at Alex Joyce on SI from Alex Joyce, writing for South Carolina Gamecocks on SI. How many weeks in a row is that now that we've had? We hit them all, right? Georgia, Vandy, Missouri, yeah.
The whole stretch.
Tennessee, South Carolina. Great. So
the whole stretch, you know, because Kalen DeBoer told us the stretch is not over.
That's exactly right. I am less nervous about the falling into the trap as we sit on a Thursday, less nervous today on a Thursday than I was Saturday night, you know, you know, early Sunday morning after the Tennessee game. I thought, man, they just had an emotional win. They're going to be letting, but every leader that you've talked to is, we've been talking about the Oklahoma game, the stretch of the, like the bye week is next week, fellas. Mm-hmm. It's next week, not this week.
Yeah. I will say what does concern me a little bit with what Alex told us there is the South Carolina secondary maybe being the strength of their defense. You know, obviously, I feel confident enough in Alabama's receivers to probably match up with just about any secondary in the country and perform admirably. But for that to be the strongest part of your defense, you know, if they can take away the pass game a little bit for Alabama, I do start to worry some just because we've not seen the run game look good. Now, their run defense is bad, so maybe that'll cut you some slack there. But that concerns me just a touch. If that's like the one thing I feel like that could maybe turn this game. And then, you know, obviously if it snowballs, not being able to tackle Norris, like he said, because he's just who was it that somebody recalled the clip on Twitter? I know I saw it come across my timeline.
Wyatt Fulton from Tide 109 pulled up the KJ Jefferson.
Yes, and it's the same thing. That's how Lenoris does. He just slings fully grown men that will be in the NFL 6 months from now, 9 months from now, off of him like it's nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can't get the downfield passing game going, you're going to hit a lot of Josh Cuevas drag routes, a lot of screen game.
And maybe you can still win that way. Yeah. Especially with Ty Simpson back there, because he will take everything that is given to him.
He's a wizard. Mm.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate Alex Joyce hanging out with us. Mason's going to be writing about Jared Curtis for the Vanderbilt Commodores on SI site.
Oh. That's very intriguing.
If he flips, I'll lose my mind.
I will, too. I think the
chance of that is 2%. Yes. Is 1%.
It's lower than the 5% I gave her. It really is. Like, don't, you know, anybody that is listening to this that has even, which I doubt there are many people because it's mostly Bama fans, but if any of you do have a somewhat of a soft spot for the Commodores, don't expect this to happen. Like, I would not put any eggs in this basket, but just there's rumblings. That's about all I can say on that.
We're going to have a Football Friday tomorrow. We'll find out some of our Bama Central teammates who want to join us on a Football Friday. Dude, Henry last week, I got to go ahead and give him credit again. Yonzi Pierre, Ryan Williams, and Dijon Lee were his three picks. Now you go first, you get the first three swings, you better hit them, and he hit them. So
hey, nailed it.
We'll see if Henry's busy tomorrow, if he wants to take the first three swings again.
Interested to see who they put on, who gets put on Nick Harbor this week. Is it Damani? Is it Zabian? I think it's Zabian as well. But maybe they throw the young kid out there.
Zabian Brown.
Yeah, really, I'm just curious to see if Damani's job is once again up for grabs this week, essentially.
Well, he came in on like the third series this past week.
Yeah.
I think he's been relegated.
It's a physicality thing.
Yes. Are you going to hit somebody?
Yeah. And he hasn't really shown that he's wanting, that he wants to.
Discouraging.
Yeah, I don't love it. Because he's so skilled.
But I appreciate a coaching staff who's willing to make changes. Willing to make adjustments as a season progresses. We'll have a Football Friday tomorrow. We'll find some Bama Central teammates who want to join us. We appreciate Alex Joyce making us a lot smarter today for the South Carolina Gamecocks. Follow him at Alex Joyce on SI. Make sure you call Strength Roofing and Siding for all of your roofing and siding needs. If you've got worries about what's going on in your roof, call them today at 205-858-9050. My man Zach Guffey would love to come out to your house today to make sure that you are in good shape for the winter season and then the nasty spring that is ahead. So make sure you call Zach Guffey today at 205-858-9050. 90-50. And of course, we appreciate Derek Daniels State Farm for putting us up in the Derek Daniels State Farm studios. We're right here off McFarland Boulevard. You got home, life, auto insurance needs, call Derek Daniels today. See how much money he can save you. Send the show to a friend. We have already hit our number one mark for the downloads for a month. So we've reset it once again. So lots of you are listening, and I cannot thank you enough for that, because you give me life, actually. For when I see that number go up, it makes me feel like we're actually doing something decent. I appreciate it so much. So send the show to your friend. Call on the voicemail line. I know Dax will, at 205-462-7340, extension 800. You can leave us your predictions. If you want to take a crack at three players to watch, you're welcome to do that as well. We invite you to do that. Take your crack at three players to watch. Predict the Alabama-South Carolina game and more on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. And with that, Mason Woods, we'll talk to him tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.